أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الفلاح حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Mr. Salman, please straighten the rows, mobile phone band ke lijiyega. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, baqiya du'a. Inshallah, after the remaining du'a, the lessons of hadith from Riyadh al-Saliheen will take place. And then the adab al-gasht will take place as well. And the amal of gasht will take place. So we'll have the hadith lesson and then the amal of gasht will take place. Brothers request to participate. Inshallah, baqiya du'a ke baad dars hadith hoga. Saath hi shirkat farmaye. Aur saath saath hamare jo gasht hota hai, haftawar gasht, wo bhi hoga. Adab al-gasht hogi asr dars ke baad aur maghrib ke baad inshallah mukhtasar bayan bhi hoga. ساتي شركة ما إن شاء الله في دوك اللهم إنت السلام وك السلام اللهم صل وسلم اللهم صل اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ومشايخنا المستقبل وأوصانا بالدعاء لجماعة صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اجعلنا مما توكل عليك فكفيت واستهداك وهديك اللهم خذ من عصيه بالتوفيق من حلالك عن حرام ثريه طيبه صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين ورحمتك يا رحمة الله Saat inshallah to dear kayta shift okay. But this is for a few minutes inshallah we'll have a brief lesson of hadith. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala rasulihi an-nabiy al-karim ma ba'd. Bab wujub ta'ati wulati al-umuri fi ghayri ma'siyatin. Bab amri wulati al-umuri bir-rifqi bi-ra'ayahum wa nasihatihim wa shafaqati alayhim wa an-nahy 'an ghishihim wa at-tashdid alayhim. وإهمال مصالحهم والغفلة عنهم وعن حوائجهم. This chapter we made a start on it last week. It's a chapter in which Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought the responsibility of zimmedar people, responsible people. If you have any form of responsibility, great responsibility is the king, Malik, the king, the ruler, the sultan, the one who has responsibility not for one or two people, but over thousands of people, or hundreds of thousands of people. If they can fulfill their responsibility well, if they can fulfill their responsibility, we don't understand. Responsibility is a huge thing. Zimmadari, responsibility. Being responsible for one person, two people, three people, being responsible, I'm looking at Hafiz, I'm thinking, being responsible for a masjid, being an imam, being in a position of responsibility over the congregation, being a father, being responsible for his children, husband responsible for his spouse. All of these are responsibilities, amanat. Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha. Fulfilling responsibilities, trusts. Everything is a trust, everything is a responsibility. Everything is going to be asked about on the day of Qiyamah. You're a father, what type of father were you? Were you a father like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a father to his children? Were you a father like the pious people around you were fathers to their children? Or were you a father who just thought, you know, my son and my daughter, just do whatever they want to? Sad thing. Now the maqsad, the purpose of parenting is changing now. What does a parent want from a child? There was a time when the parent would want, when these children grow older, they're going to look after me. I'm going to train them, I'm going to discipline them, I'm going to teach them, you know, how to be good to people. Anytime I see them doing something wrong, I'm going to be strict with them. Our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. Now the parents say, I know the children are not going to look after me anyway. I know the children are not going to look after me anyway. They just need to learn how to have a good salary, good job, and somehow, you know, look after themselves. It's the purpose of parenting now. My child becomes just an alright person and has a good job and somehow can look after himself, and maybe he's married, can hold on to his wife without getting divorced. Yeah? Or the wife can hold on to her husband without getting divorced. That's it. The purpose of parenting has changed. Asman Zameen. You know, our parents said, when you grow up, you're going to look after me. You're looking after me, I'm staying with you, this. This was the tarbiyah and the training that was given. You're going to fulfill the rights of Allah, you're going to fulfill the rights of me, you're going to look after your brothers and sisters, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Now it's like if you just survive, it's okay. As long as you don't, you know, he's not a useless person. Just don't be useless, bas. So responsibility. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought his chapter here, that look, a person who is responsible, first king, as I was saying, a king. In the hadith where seven people will be under the shade of Allah's throne on the day of Qiyamah, where there will be no other shade. The hadith mentions the shade of Allah, special shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day when there will be no other shade except for Allah's shade. One of them is Al-Malikul Adil, a just king. A just king. He was a king. He was a ruler. But because he was good and he fulfilled his responsibility wasn't over one or two people, it was over thousands of people. Because he was just king, he will be under Allah's shade. Such a difficult job. The more people you are responsible for, the more you have to answer for on the day of Qiyamah. You have to answer for everyone's rights. So being an amir, being a leader, nobody should ever ask for it. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the leader's job is to serve. If you can't serve, you can't be a leader. Anytime Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, make me an amir, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, no. Make me a leader, he would say, no. A person who asks for leadership does not understand the dangers of leadership. He can't be trusted with leadership. A person who runs away from leadership understands that it's got so much, you know, dangers, responsibility, amanat. That person should be given leadership because he will be always so scared, so careful in fulfilling the rights of leadership. So this chapter he brings, someone who is made a leader, given responsibility over anyone, they should be soft and affectionate and loving towards the people that they are responsible for. They should want the best for them. They should be good towards them. They should never deceive them, cheat them, lie against them. And more importantly, people who are connected with masjid, madrasa, deeni responsibility, even more so, being so careful. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. In the Quran, what does Allah say? Who are the people who should make masjids, construct masjids, build masjids? Those people who believe in Allah on the day of Akhirah, on the day of Qiyamah. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. They establish salah. Every masjid committee, every trustee should be five times musalli. I'm not just saying, for myself. Everyone who's connected to a masjid should be a five times musalli, should establish salah in their life. Not just read salah, iqamatu salah. Fulfill the haqq of salah. Wa ata zakat, they should be giving zakat, and they should not fear anyone apart from Allah. These are the people who should bil masjid. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَنْ تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ رِجَالٌ. In the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are the people that inhabit the houses of Allah? رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. These people, buying and selling does not distract them from Allah. Oh, my business, so I miss my salah. My job, so I miss my salah. This thing happening, so it's okay, I'll read my salah by myself. I'll miss it, I'll do qada later. How many Muslims now say, you know what, I can't read salah at work, there's no opportunity, I'll do it later. They make qada of 2-3 salahs together. There's no. I'm traveling, I'm driving, I don't know where to stop. I'm in a rush, I need to get destination on time. I'll read my salahs when I get there. No, salah is further, right now. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. It's fixed time, prescribed time. You can't make up the time of salah. Hey, I don't want to read now, I'm busy, I'll read in 3 hours. Salah is fard now, you've got to read it now. Everything Allah Ta'ala has prescribed, these are the people who inhabit the houses of Allah. Nothing can distract them from salah. An dhikrillah, and the remembrance of Allah. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. They fear a day in which the hearts and the eyes will be overturned out of fear. So my brothers, this responsibility, this chapter is about responsibility. People that we are responsible for, never deceiving them. Never deceiving them. Pulling wool over people's eyes. Nobody's going to check on me. I'm the Imam Sahib. You know, no one's going to check on me. No one's going to ask me any questions. I can do whatever I like. Allah is watching. And on the day of Qiyamah, I'm going to be in the most difficult situation because people trusted me. And they said, oh, he's a pious man. He won't do anything wrong. People said he's someone responsible, someone good. He's the father, he's the husband, he's the trustee, he's the chairman, he's the boss, he's the owner. We can trust him. This person is going to be gripped the most firmly, and he's going to be taken to task the most firmly. Very difficult situation to be in. Allah Ta'ala mentions the Quran, وَخْفِلْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, وَخْفِلْ جَنَاحَكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lower your wing, be soft to the believers. Those who follow you, be soft with them. Meaning the position of a leader, the position of an amir, of a leader, someone who has responsibility, or the attitude, the behavior should be one of softness, should not be one of sternness, should not be one of harshness. All types of people are going to come to you, even if you're a father, different children are different. Now if you're just going to be a stern father, you don't understand the needs of every child is different. The needs of your wife are different. Anyone that you're dealing with, their needs are different. Adopt a soft approach. Soft approach is a safe approach. Soft approach is a safe approach. Harsh approach is a very dangerous approach. Sometimes it works, many times it does not work. And then we ruin situations. So in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, whatever Allah Ta'ala puts softness inside of, that thing becomes beautiful. And whatever Allah Ta'ala takes softness away from, that thing becomes damaged. Always soft, 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 as much as we possibly can. We don't need to fix every situation. We just need to fix ourselves. On the day of Qiyamah, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. You're not going to carry anyone else's burden. Ajab wa ma alayka illa balagh. Our job is just to tell people. Our job is just to tell people. And after telling them, if they don't do it, our job is not to lose our mind over it. Now we're attacking ourselves, we're attacking our own sanity, we're attacking our own mental health. I can't sleep at night because I can't rectify this situation. Allah has not made me responsible for that. I should sleep at night like a baby. I should sleep at night like a baby. The pious people would go to sleep, subhanAllah, they would fall asleep right now, they'd be snoring. They want to have a rest, 10 minutes in the day, straight away. The pious people, they go to sleep straight away. They have listened to the problems of the world, but they know, I can only do my bit. I can only advise whatever I can advise. I can only help in my capacity. But I can't damage my own mental health. I can't damage my own situations and my own blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with. So it's very, very important. Always soft approach. وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ. Lower your wings. Don't be humble. Don't be arrogant. Why does he talk to me in this way? Why is there when I look at his face, he scowls at me and he frowns at me? Why does this guy never smile at me? What's wrong with this guy? I walked past him, he didn't smile back. Why are we bothered about all this? In Ramadan, we were discussing, Sayyidina Hatim Asam, rahmatullahi alayhi, mentioned by his Shaykh, Shaqiq al-Balkhi. Shaqiq al-Balkhi said, oh Hatim, you stayed with me so many years. What did you learn? He said, one thing I learned by just sitting with you and staying in your suhbat and your company is that no one can harm me. No one is my enemy. My only enemy is shaitan, because he has sworn that he's my enemy. Anyone who talks bad about me is not my enemy. Anyone who hurts me, harms me is not my enemy. They're actually my khairha, my benefactors. They're giving me stuff. Anyone who talks bad about me, I am so weak. My salah is so weak. My Quran is so weak. My sunnah, practicing my sunnah is so weak. This person who talks bad about me is just giving me gifts. In the akhirah, I will find so much good deeds that he's giving me. Why am I angry with him? The person who hurts me more is giving me more good deeds. He's not my enemy. My only enemy is shaitan. So he said, I realized that and I forgave everyone and I said, I'm going to make shaitan my enemy. So how every single believer should be. Good with everybody. It doesn't matter. We don't need to go off people's reactions, people's talks, people's words. Human beings, we live and we forgive and we forget. And we should always make it our intention. In our heart, there's no grudge. رَبَّنَا لَا وَلَا تَجَعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Oh Allah, don't place any malice in my heart, any discontent, any anger with other people. Keep my heart clean, clean, clean heart. A clean heart is the one that is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Heart that is soft towards people, heart that is forgiving of people, heart that is understanding of people's situation, and heart that holds on to grudge, pessimistic, negative, cynical, English word, meaning always thinking negative of things, thinking negative of people, judging people. That heart is far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't want us to be like that. We're all human beings, we all make mistakes. We're all human beings, we all make mistakes. We've all hurt people, we've all offended people, we've all harmed people, sometimes on purpose, many times without knowing, many times by accident. So if someone hurts me, harms me, well, why am I going to hold on to that till the day of Qiyamah? Just forgive and forget. Say, Ya Allah, I've hurt many people, Ya Allah. I was talking to a brother today, a very good brother, and he was saying, you know, he was saying as an example, he was saying he had this Mini Cooper and someone scratched it. Some child scratched it or something or broke something. And his wife was getting so frustrated. He said, why are you getting frustrated? When I was young, I remember, because we were so naughty as a child, I would go and scratch other people's cars. What you do to other people happens to you. Forget it. He goes, so many things happen in my life. I say, I used to do this. And now it's happening to me. See? Why do we need to hold on to grudges when we have so many dealings with Allah Ta'ala, the book is not closed yet? We don't know we've been forgiven for it or not yet. We don't know if Allah is still happy with us or not yet. We're going to find out on the day of Qiyamah. It's a long wait. In that wait, I just need to be very cautious. Forgive everyone, bae. I'll forgive you. Ya Allah, please forgive me. I'm forgiving everybody. Your job is just to forgive me. Please, oh Allah, all these sins I made. The pious people, what do? Their previous sins don't give them any patience, don't give them any happiness. Ya Allah, all these sins I did many years ago, I have no idea whether you've forgiven me for them or not. And this way a person spends their life between hope and fear, and they hope that when they meet Allah they'll be forgiven, but they're never overconfident or where they think that that's it, it's fine, I'm okay, I'm in the clear. Always worried that maybe Allah Ta'ala will take me to task. وقال تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. And Allah Ta'ala states, indeed Allah Ta'ala instructs you to be just, to be just, to have justice, to be fair. Adl, Allah Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi says, Adl is balancing between ifrat and tafrit, between two extremes. So you're not extreme in anything. You don't go overboard in being good to people, and then when they don't reciprocate, you think, I did so much for that guy and he didn't do it back to me. Yeah, we're human. We're human. When you do too much for someone, one is you do for parents and this and that, you do everything for them. One is just, you know, I'm a generous person, but when I'm generous, I just become bankrupt because that's how generous I am. See? This is not Islamic. This is not Islamic. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدَ مَنُهُ مَحْصُورًا. Don't be so stingy that your hands are tied to your neck, and don't be so generous that you just give everything, and then you sit there in regret and remorse that, Ya Allah, I got nothing left. What do I do? How do I pay my bills? You get people like this. I'm going to give so much sadaqah. No, give, be generous. And the next day they're doing shikayat. I don't have money. I'm complaining about their children, complaining this person doesn't give them money, complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today I'm giving so much charity, thinking it's such a good thing, and tomorrow I'm complaining against the same Allah who I was trying to please yesterday. Allah didn't give me wealth. This situation happened, that's why I don't have any money. You had money, but you were careless with it. So, adil is this. be striking a balance between ifrat and tafrit, between two extremes. Always being very moderate, always being very balanced and fair. Well, ihsan and being good to others, and doing good deeds and being good to others. Part of ihsan is fulfilling the rights of everyone. And straight after that, Allama Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi mentions that part of ihsan is that you fulfill the rights of all of Allah's creation. That's part of ihsan. Ihsan, you worship Allah in the best possible manner. Part of that is fulfilling the rights of Allah's creation. And that part is so important that Allah Ta'ala follows that up with وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. So in ihsan, it comes in there. It's a nutshell. It all comes in ihsan. Be good to Allah, be good to His creation. But because being good to His creation is so important, and that is the thing that a person will be stuck on the day of Qiyamah with. Allah is forgiving. Allah Ta'ala can forgive everything. So many people, sinful people, Allah will say, go into Jannah. Sinful people, major sins, minor sins. In the dunya, people will say, this guy is the worst person. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will say, you did this small thing, I really liked it, go to Jannah. What are we going to do then? In dunya, we used to judge him. That guy is the worst guy. Stay away from him. One good thing he did, and we know this from the hadith, subhanAllah, about the lady who would sell herself. She fed a dog a sip of water. A dog a sip of water, Allah Ta'ala forgave everything. Who is going to limit Allah's mercy? Nobody. Never judge other people, just focus on ourselves. So more important, and this is something we have to take extremely seriously, is the rights of makhluk, rights of Allah's creation. And those who have the greatest rights over us are dhil qurba, relatives. Fulfill the rights of your relatives, starting with your parents. Love your parents, honor your parents, forgive your parents, get your parents to forgive you. How many of us can ask our parents in this dunya, please, father, forgive me for everything. Abu, baba, forgive me for everything I've done. I made so many mistakes. We're shy to ask, mom, forgive me for everything I've done. So many things I've done since I was a child, I don't even remember what I've done, but we can't ask our mom and dad for forgiveness. We can tell them, make dua for us, but we never say, please forgive me. I need you, oh mom, oh dad, oh mother, oh father, I need you in your heart to have no grudge against me. If you do, I'm going to be stuck on the day of Qiyamah. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. The story about the Sahabi, it's not the most authentic story, but it's something to take lessons from. He was in throes of death. And he was struggling. And they said, what is it? What happened? And said, is his mother still alive? Yes, his mother's still alive. Go and ask. maybe she is upset with him. Asked the mother said, yes, you know, he did this certain thing and I'm displeased with it. So if you don't forgive him, look, he's struggling now. And this is the first stage of, before he passes away. What will happen after he passes away? Forgive him. She forgave him and he moved on. So this is very, very important. Taalluq with parents, love for parents, honoring the parents, forgiving the parents, being kind to the parents, speaking to them softly, speaking to them kindly, always keeping one's head down in front of parents, being humble in front of your parents. You don't need to boast, you don't need to brag, you don't need to act like you know so much, you don't need to act clever. Always act like a child in front of your parents, because you are a child to your parents. Doesn't matter how old we are, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, we're a child to our parents. Behave like a child in front of our parents. Listen to whatever they say, sit quietly when they tell you off. Don't speak back, how old you might be. This is the secret of Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Jannah lies under the feet of your mother. The father is the middle door of Jannah. Whoever ruins that door is ruined his door to Jannah. And whoever maintains that door has maintained his door to Jannah. This is the secret. The secret of Allah's love, secret of Allah's kindness, secret of rizq being increased and sustenance being increased. Oh, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling. How good are you to your parents? How well do you treat them? How much do you make dua for them? How much do you think of them? How much do you smile at them? How respectfully do you treat them? Ask ourselves the question. Dil qurba, parents, relatives, everyone. To the extent the friends of your parents should be honored, because it's a friend of mine. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu is traveling with a person. He's traveling and he's very elderly and he's traveling on his camel and he sees a man. So are you this man that would come to see my father? And he sees this man and he says, he gets off his camel and he asks him, where are you from? Is this your village? Is this your dad's name? Yes, this is my dad's name. He gets off his camel and he sits on this little mule and it makes it very difficult for himself. He puts that man on his camel and he takes off his amama and he puts it on that man's head. And his companions say, what are you doing? Oh, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are you doing? The camel was comfortable. You're sitting on the mule. We've got a long journey to travel. You're an elderly man. Why? Who is this random person? We don't know who he is. He said his father was a friend of my father Umar. His father was a friend of my father Umar, and because of that connection and that nisbat, I am honoring him. I have to honor him. Look at where the mind would go. Look at where the mind would go. And we say, oh, my dad's me. Yes, the guy was my dad's me. You know, my dad's friend comes to talk to me. He's, oh, my dad's friend. I don't know why he's still calling me. Why is he calling me? He's not my dad. I don't know why he's calling me. He's my, we do this, right? He's my father's friend. I should respect him and honor him, because honoring him is fulfilling the rights. This is why the ulama say, and in the hadith we find Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning, when a person's parents passed away, that you still have rights now after your parents have gone, making dua for them, being good towards them, reciting Quran for them. And one of the things that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned is that those people who your father had a relationship with, your parents had connection with, honoring them because of your parents. That's part of the haq of your parents, right of your parents. As soon as a father goes, we don't know anybody who's connected to dad. We don't know anyone. Even if we do, we don't know them. Purposefully, you close the door. Yeah, he used to come when dad was alive, but he's not here anymore. Why are you still coming? So, وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَىٰ وَيَنْهَىٰ And Allah Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala prohibits us from fahsha, from those disgusting sinful acts. Allama Fakhruddin Razi Rahmatullah Ali says, the sinful actions have been separated into three types. He says, those which are shahwaniya, those which are based on your lusts and desires, and those are fahsha. Zina and all of the things which are connected to zina, these are called fahsha. Very disgusting, despicable sinful act. Allah Ta'ala is saying, stay away from them. And then the second category, munkar. Munkar is any form of sin, major and minor. Stay away from them. And baghi, baghi is oppression, zulm, hurting people, harming people, transgressing their rights. So this is, look, it's coming twice in Itai al-Qurba and Baghi here. Over there, fulfill the rights of people. Over here, do not break the rights of people. Do not usurp the rights of people. Baghi. In the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Baghi is such a sin, Baghi. What does Baghi mean? Doing zulm on other people, oppressing people, not fulfilling their rights. It's such a sin that guaranteed punishment for that will befall a person in this dunya before the akhirah. This Baghi, hurting the rights of others, hurting others, harming others, is such a sin that the person who does it will taste the punishment of that guaranteed in this dunya before the akhirah. The Arabic word of the hadith is not coming to my mind. Hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions. To be so careful. We'll do one hadith inshallah. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته الإمام راع ومسؤول عن رعيته والرجل راع في أهله ومسؤول عن رعيته والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها والخادم راع في مال سيده ومسؤول عن رعيته وكلكم راع ومسؤول عن رعيته متفق عليه. سيدنا عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما narrates that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that every single one of you is a shepherd. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullah and others mentioned, subhanAllah, such a beautiful isti'ara, such a beautiful metaphor this is. Every one of you is a shepherd. We don't have any sheep. Yeah? None of us here have any sheep that we look after. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, you're all a shepherd. So it's a metaphor, and there are so many lessons that can be learned from the relationship a shepherd has with their flock. That all of us are shepherds in our own way. And we are responsible for our flock. وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ And all of you will be asked on the day of Qiyamah. You will be held responsible for your flock. الْإِمَامُ رَاعٍ A leader. Anyone, a leader, person in position of leadership, is ra'in, is a shepherd. And he is responsible for his flock. Those people who he has authority over. وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي أَهْلِهِ A man is a shepherd in his family members. And he will be asked about his flock. Your wife, your children. What were you doing? What were they doing? Why don't you know what they were doing? Why did you allow them to do whatever they wanted? Why did you never tell them what was right and wrong? Till the dying breath, it's our responsibility to educate our children. Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anhu is on his deathbed and he's saying, make sure when I die, you don't have people standing over me who are crying. Any woman who cries, straight out of my room. No one should be here wailing and crying. Make sure after you bury me, you all stand around me for the time it takes to sacrifice, to slaughter a camel and distribute its meat, and make sure you continue to make dua of forgiveness for me, because this is the time where I will need it the most. Till the dying breath, education, education, teach. Our teaching stops at maktab. And we don't even teach. We tell the teachers of madrasa, teach Islamic study. Quran ek dafa do dafa mukammal kar liya, bas ho gaya. Person brought his child to me on Thursday. And he said, oh, my son really wants to come to madrasa. I go, do you want your son to come to madrasa? He goes, no, my son really wants him to come to madrasa. Just talk to him. Usse baat kar lo. He's a very nice person. He's smiling at me and things, but I was getting very annoyed. I said, why should I talk to your son? You're here. Usse baat karo. This is the start time of madrasa, this is the end time of madrasa. No, don't tell me, tell him. So what's your job then? What's your job? Your son is the adult, you're the child. What is going on here? He said, well, he's read Quran once or twice. I didn't really want him to come. He's going to clash with his football. But, he wants to come, so just tell him. What's your job? What is your job? My job is to make sure my son becomes a good servant of Allah, fulfills the rights of Allah, fulfills the rights of the creation of Allah. That's my job, not just my job because I chose it, my job because Allah made it my job when He gave me that child. The child is not mine. People say such weird things when they look at a child. What do they say? Oh, you guys, na'udhu billah, I've heard this statement from Muslims. You made such a beautiful child. You made such a beautiful, who are they saying this to the parents? You made such a beautiful, what making did we do? Who made and fashioned and designed and gave? Allah. Allah's child. We are just, holding on to the child, ameen of it, guardian of it, trust, we have been entrusted with it. If Allah wants to take it today, can we hold it back? Can we keep it? How many people lose their child? It's gone. Allah gave, Allah took. Allah will one day take this child, and on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will say, "Bay, I gave you that child for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. What did you do with that trust I gave you? What did you do?" So it's very important. Our family members, our children, our spouse, the people that we have any form of responsibility over, are they fulfilling the rights of Allah? Are they fulfilling the obligations Allah has put on them? Are they reading their salah? Are they staying away from sin? Do they all have mobile phones? What are they doing with their mobile phones? What are they doing with their free time? You got free time. Why don't we go to a talk? I don't really want to go to a talk. I'm tired. My son, if I'm tired and I go to sleep and I go and start watching TV, my son is going to do the same thing I'm doing. I'm going to go and sit in a talk because my son can go with me then. We're going to go together. I know, mashallah, people that you do it properly. As a Maulana in Oldham, mashallah, his son. The Maulana is so busy. He's so busy, but he's at every single bayan that happens in Oldham. Mona Kamal Sahib, he's the principal of Westwood School. Every single talk is there because he's bringing his son. He's bringing his son. He can't just tell his son, a 10, 11, 12 year old child, go to a bayan, son's not going to go. He will take him. Beta, come on, let's go. We've got free time, let's go. They've got food there. They're going to have desserts there. Come on, let's go. He says, it's my job. My job is not just what the imam in the masjid is going to teach him. And there's a bayan guys go, or there's a youth program go, and I don't know if he's gone or not. I don't know if he's on the streets. I don't know where he is in the marketplace. I need to go train him, make his tarbiyah, discipline him. Keep him under my wing for as long as possible. Teach him the right teachings until he's old enough. And then I can say, I did my bit when he was young. And I trained him, and I nurtured him, and now he's an adult. Now I'll still continue to guide him, but I can't, I can't hold his hand anymore. Now he needs to learn himself. A woman, she is a shepherd in the home of her husband, and she is responsible for her flock. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will say to her, did you fulfill the rights of your husband? Your husband entrusted you with this house, with these children. He went to work. He said, my wife is, she's very capable. She's going to handle them. What did you do? Did you say, oh, dad's gone now, guys? Let's party. Let's celebrate. Dad's gone now, you can go out wherever you want. Dad's gone now, if the girls are not wearing the hijab, you can take your hijab off now, dad's gone. Dad's gone, dad doesn't allow you to go out with makeup on. Dad's gone, just put your makeup on and go. Dad's gone, so you want to go out and enjoy, and dad doesn't let you go. This is khiyanat of an amanat. This is betrayal of a trust. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask you, your husband's eyes were closed, his back was turned, and you betrayed him automatically. To the extent that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, it's the right of the wife, right of the husband and the wife, that if the husband is not home, she can't even allow someone to come to the house who the husband will be displeased with. All these relatives that they're having issues with my husband or whatever, my husband's not going to be happy, but he's not home, just come. Just come, he's not home. Well, why if he turns up? Well, if he turns up, then tough. No, my husband is not happy until you sort your situation out. I'm sorry, I can't let you into my house.
My job is to keep his house safe from anyone or anything that is going to cause inconvenience to him. Right now, you need to, you know, rectify your dealings with him first. I can't let you here. Or anyone that the husband is suspicious of, anyone that the husband has some dealings which have not been concluded with. So these are all rights, and so many rights. Women folk now, there's no regard for a husband's rights. There's no regard for a husband's rights. Some are scared of a husband, so if they're scared of a husband, they will do whatever the husband wants when he's there. As soon as the husband is back his turn, they'll do the opposite. We have to answer to Allah, not to him. The husband is going to have to answer to Allah, not to his wife, to his children, to Allah, to Allah, to Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, anyone that we were responsible for, we will have to answer to Allah. Every single haqq. والخادم راع في مال سيده a khadim. Khadim, helper, attendant. Someone who is trusted with things. He is responsible for the wealth of his master. ومسؤول, he will be asked about that. Employees go in there, employees. I'm an employee, a worker. I work for someone. My employer is trusting me. He's giving me time. In that time, what am I doing? Everybody works from home nowadays. Work from home is a good example. You work from home, so everyone says you work from home. You just have to move the mouse, you know. You just have to move the mouse and you get paid. You move the mouse, so you're showing that I'm still here, but in the meantime, you're doing everything in the dunya. The employer thinks you're doing a job, but you're moving the mouse and you're doing... Allah will ask us about this on the day of Qiyamah. I'm getting paid anyway. He doesn't know, but doesn't Allah know? He's giving you money thinking you're doing a job, placing this trust on you, you're betraying his trust. What are you doing with your time? So it's very important as employees, time to time you go to employer and say, please forgive me. There are times which get wasted. We all know who are employees. There are times get wasted. Sometimes I'm on my phone taking personal calls. Sometimes I'm Googling personal things. Sometimes I'm shopping personal things. These are not time that you should be paying me for, but I still do it. People say, well, everybody does it, you know. Everyone does it. Well, everyone is going to have to answer to Allah, including you. So don't say everybody's doing it, so it's okay. But think to yourself on the day of Qiyamah, this is trust that I will have to answer for that I betrayed. So in the dunya, somehow try and make up for it. Go, look, boss, you know, sometimes there's personal things that do come up. Please do forgive me. I'm just making you aware there are times that I take personal calls. If it's a good boss, he'll say, it's okay. Sometimes it happens, but just don't take the mic. Don't take advantage. Yeah? We're doing it for ourselves, so we are saved, our skin is saved, our neck is saved on the day of Qiyamah. وَكُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَمَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ All of you are shepherds, and each and every single one of you is responsible for his flock. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. We are ready to practice upon this, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah, 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 subhanallah,